So let's talk about studying the Bible. This morning we begin a two-part series, this week and next Sunday, on how to study the Bible. Now, my focus is going to be an encouragement and a stirring up a passion of myself and you guys of the Word of God. That's what my goal is to stir you guys up, stir myself up, to have a passion for the Word of God. You know, our study in the Bible should be an adventure in our life. It should be a lifelong adventure. For myself, how God's Word gripped me like no other reading as I was drawn to it in my early walk, it was an interesting phenomenon. It was different than just reading a book or a novel or, I used to like to read encyclopedias. Don't ask me why, but I like the knowledge. I like to learn things, learn how to, make gunpowder and different things that you would do when you're a regular person, right? And I used to like reading all that stuff. But it was so different than that when I first experienced the Word of God. In the beginning, for me, it seemed almost magical that what was happening in the Bible to my heart. It was just magical. The word I was reading, it was talking to me. It was speaking to me directly, and I love that. The question of life here, we're being addressed this morning is, how does the Word of God affect your life? How does the Word of God come into your life? How does it guide you? How does it minister to you, comfort you, guide you, all these different directions? In the beginning, I did not understand everything I was reading. There was something very personal speaking to me. We had a Catholic Bible in our house, and it had the red words of Jesus in that book. And I was really attracted, especially to the red words. I understood that it was Jesus, and it was very attractive to me. I remember taking a lot of stuff out of context. Revelation, I didn't understand anything at all. When you're a new Christian, it's hard to understand any of that stuff unless you're reading the whole Bible. But somehow, even that book itself, the book of Revelation, was written to me personally. I don't know what it was. And it was only later that I began to settle down and understand how to approach the Word of God. I had this unrelenting hunger to understand it more, and I needed more focus than just reading it alone. I remember going to my first Bible study, and it was exciting for me because it brought in something that from the outside, and it was really important for me to understand that. The real breakthrough was an opportunity to study the Bible from cover to cover. So I went to a Bible school, and the first time I went through the Bible was a summary of all the books of the Bible. Just a quick summary, Genesis, Exodus, onward, all the way to Revelation. Very simple, very not detailed, but just to get the feel of what the Bible was speaking. And it was there that I began to understand that God's Word was so much more than I imagined. Some of the things that some of the teachers were bringing out when I was at school, some of the different things that we discussed in the classroom. And I began to understand that God's Word was so much more than I could imagine. It wasn't just words. It was God's Word. It was God's mind speaking to me. Now, the second phase, I went through the Bible more in depth, but subject by subject. So in Genesis, we took the garden. We took the temptation. Exodus, we took, Exodus out of Egypt into the promised land. And so we took like chunks of it, and I began to understand it even more that way. More in depth, but specific subjects. I remember digging into the topic of why did God put that tree in the garden, right? That's a good question. Why did he put that tree, the tree that they were tempted by, why did he put it there? And we had group discussions in the classroom, and it was really good. But you know what? Understanding more and more about the prophecies, the predictions of Jesus in the early even in the early book of Genesis, there's prophecies about Jesus Christ himself. But it didn't stop there. God drew me into pastoring, where a lot of self-discoveries were necessary for my calling. You know, and with that, it's been an ongoing project in my life, the scriptures itself. So the Bible is important in so many different ways. It prepares me to face life, right? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I need to fall upon the Word deeply, where I can't understand what my circumstances are going on, what's happening in my life, and I fall upon the scriptures. I drift toward the Psalms. I drift toward answers. But it also, the Bible is important that it prepares me to face this life. This life is not easy at all. You guys know for yourself what God allows into your life. Bible helps me encourage myself. I need to encourage myself, but I need to encourage others too. I need to be able to speak to others and encourage others about what God is doing in their life. So the Bible has everything I need for this life, and it prepares me for the next, for eternity itself. And that is because the Bible is God's, think about this, it's his very thinking or his thoughts and his words. It's his word, it's his thinking, and so let's study the Bible together. Let's study the Bible together. So we're going to look at three different things this week, a lot more next week. We need context. We need context when we read the Bible. And to study the Bible, there's a lot of different types of studies in the Bible, you know, and we'll go through some of that. And then there's the foundations itself that I want to speak about. So let's look at we need context. If I were to have a life quote, it would be this: life is all about context and perspective. I believe that. Wisdom is learning to step back far enough that I can see the whole picture. That would be my life, because perspective and context are everything in life. So when studying the Bible, context is everything. It's everything. If you approach the Bible just as a book or just another book, you lose total context. You're not looking at it from the way God has presented it. And this is why so many people don't have that value, that treasure in the Word of God, because they're looking at it, that's just an ancient book, that's just another book. It's not really God's thoughts, it's not really God's Word. If I can convince you, though, during this time, to look at the Bible as God's actual mind, I have done what I set out to accomplish in this time. That's the main thing I want to accomplish, is to convince you this is God's word, it's God's thoughts to us, and it's imparted to us as from God to us. Understand that. Now, the Saturday men's study has been a blessing for all of us that have been attending. Chuck Missler, as a Bible teacher, is an amazing, he's a tech teacher too. It's kind of an amazing man that I have really hooked into. He gets the context, though. He gets the context. He says this, and I think he's repeated it over and over as we get into the study, the men's study. He says this: the Bible is 66 books, 40 plus authors, written over 1600 years, yet one integrated design. It's one integrated, it's one author, you might say. And it's not just a book of something that's in this, it's outside the dimension of what we can even understand. It's God's dimension. So we must recognize the Bible as supernatural, a supernatural message system. I'm kind of paraphrasing Chuck Missler on this. Peter says this about the Bible. He says, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. He says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1. So we need the context of what the Bible is all about. And we need to understand that God himself is the author. And every part of Scripture deserves very thoughtful, serious attention. You know, whether it's the story of the characters of the Bible, David and Peter and Daniel and all the different characters, or the somewhat hard to pronounce genealogies of the Bible, right? It's all important, and it's all from God's mind, and there's messages in all of it. There's something to consider in all of it. And I have to say that nothing in the Bible is there by coincidence. Nothing. Anything you read in the Bible has something that God wants to give to you. You know, when you think about God's mind, it's explosive. It's explosive beyond what we can ever consider. You know, we need to always be conscious that behind that one chapter, that one verse, or that one word, God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's Isaiah chapter 55. So as you study the Bible, you need to have that context that it is the Word of God. It is God's mind. It is God's words speaking to us. And if you do that, you're going to find all the golden nuggets you need to survive this lifetime. Everything that you need is going to be in there. Now, there's a lot of different ways to study the Bible. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he, what? Meditates day and night. He's speaking about the believer. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Sometimes a verse might catch your attention. Do you ever have that one verse, maybe a short half a verse or whatever, catches your attention? And you begin to think on that. I call it like to chew on it for a while, to get the flavor of it, to understand maybe what God is speaking to you about. It brings about Bible study in our own life. It might isolate something that God is speaking to you directly, and that it might be in a particular subject or a circumstance, but thinking on that particular verse and meditating on the Word of God brings freshness into your life. That's Bible study, really. Meditating on the Word of God is Bible study. Also, we study the Bible in our devotion. You know, God often speaks to us as we slow down. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of braking lately to slow down, Dan, get the perspective. What is God speaking to me? So he always speaks to me, and I think to you guys, as we begin to slow down. Meditation is one way, but devotion is another way. Our daily devotions, or our devotions that we have. It says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. And sometimes we need to still our hearts, and just that devotion time is where all the noise stops and clarity begins to come out. Clarity begins to come out. So we can study the Bible in our devotion. And then we have the reading of the Word of God. That's studying the Bible, or maybe our chapters, or, you know, reading the Word of God. Paul to Timothy says, give attention. He's speaking to Timothy. Timothy is in Ephesus at the time. He says, give attention to reading. He's a pastor speaking to another pastor, and he says, make sure you give attention to reading the Word of God. Now, they only had the epistles that Peter or Paul or the different Jude or anything had back then, but mostly the Old Testament. So reading is God's simplest way of studying the Bible. Wouldn't you agree? Just reading it as we go through, sometimes slower, sometimes faster, sometimes a verse, sometimes a chapter. Sometimes you get in the mood, you read through two or three chapters. It's reading. It can be focusing on a book of the Bible. It can be focusing on the different types of reading that you're used to. Everybody's different. Everybody's different in their reading, how they read. In devotion time, it's good to set up a time of schedule. Maybe you want to go through the whole Bible in a year or 2 years or 3 years. Speed is not the question here at all. It's digging into the Word of God. So devotion time, it's good to set up some kind of schedule that fits your style and your personality to regularly read the Word of God. Timothy, give attention to reading. So you have many different ways to study the Bible. You got meditation, you got devotion, you got reading. I'm probably missing 10 different ways. But let me introduce you a term that sets you on a path that goes a little bit deeper. It's called inductive Bible study. Have you guys heard that term, inductive Bible study? Now, we call it verse-by-verse teaching. That's what we call it, verse-by-verse teaching. That's why we're going to go through Daniel and then through Revelation, verse by verse. Well, Daniel's going to be a summary. It's going to be a little bit more summary, but verse by verse in the book of Revelation. Inductive Bible study is one of the clearest, most reliable, and I think the most tramorative than ways of to study the Bible or study the scriptures, because it forces us to let the text speak to us and not for us injecting something into the text. You guys understand that, right? You can look at something and say, well, that means that, but Peter says there's no private interpretation. We want to let the Word speak to our hearts. It's very simple, and I'll tell you what, it brings you deeper. My personal experience with this is when there was a time in my life where I was trying to study. I'd go up to the library and, you know, to get my studies ready. And I was just raw. I was young. I was, 26, 27 years old, really young. And I was just kind of raw at the whole situation. But my personal experience is when one time the Holy Spirit really spoke to me and made me understand that how to study the Bible, and the different things that I'm speaking about now are some of the stuff. It's simple, it brings you deep. You know, the need to go deeper into my own studies, especially with the thoughts of teaching others. That was really important. You know, you guys always have to have that thought of teaching others. You can't, just because you're not up by the pulpit speaking, you need to be able to consume the Word of God as though you're going to communicate it to other people. That's very important to understand. And a lot of times it starts with your testimony. It starts with a simple testimony. This is what God has done in my life. So the need to go deeper, especially with the thought of teaching others, the challenge of teaching others, to teach others clearly and not, you ever have a rabbit trail study? I hate that. I hate it for myself, and I try and keep very clear about what I'm going to do, and that's why I give you guys little outline first, because I'm going toward that. So, you know, even if you don't teach others, this kind of study, it's going to deepen your relationship with the Lord. Then we get into finally, and this is not a real long study today, but next week's going to be a little bit longer. Let me give you the foundation, though, the foundations of how to study the Bible. One thing I forgot to mention when we were speaking about the context, you know, being God's Word and all that, of the words of Jesus. He was speaking to the Jews. This is John chapter 5, verse 39. Speaking to the Jews, and he said this, "You search the Scriptures, and it is what that testifies about me." It's really something you might pass up and you might not understand. Keep this in context as you study the Word of God, that Jesus is everywhere in the Bible, everywhere. I can show you right at the fall when God is speaking to Adam and Eve and predicting the Savior. Then you go to the 49th chapter of Genesis. He talks about Shiloh coming, the tribe of Judah, all these different. This is way back. This is in the very beginning. the sacrifices, you know, the temple sacrifices, they testify of Jesus. Everywhere in the Bible, if you always include Jesus in that context, you're going to have a very safe guidance of the Word of God. So you need to keep this in context as you study the Word of God, that Jesus is absolutely everywhere. He says, everything in that book testifies about me. So always look for Jesus everywhere in your studies. Or back to the foundations in our Bible study. The first is studying the Bible is absolutely observation. To keep your mind open to what the context is of what you're studying. First of all, what does the text say, right? What does the text say? And here's where it's important. You want to look at what the author is saying and not how it applies to your life. You need to keep that text, that context, separate than the application. Applications are very important. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so when you look at something in the Bible, you want to, and I'm saying we're studying something in the Bible, you want to be able to understand what the author is saying to us. Right? And God is the author, but maybe it's the book of Obadiah. Maybe it's the book of, you know, maybe speaking about Ezekiel, you know, different things like that. So you want to look at what the Bible is actually saying to us. This is where the world goes astray because they put their own interpretation into it. I remember reading an article about Ezekiel in the very beginning, the first chapter, speaking about Ezekiel seeing the worship throne of God. And sure enough, oh no, that's a UFO. It's a UFO because of the lights and the wheels and. But they're not looking at the content. They're not looking at what is happening, is that Ezekiel is being exposed to the throne of God itself. So you need to be able to keep that in mind. You want to look at what the author is saying and not how it applies to you yet. Application is always secondary. It's always secondary if you're studying the Bible. Now, there's times where you read a scripture and it hits you. That might be an application, okay? But when I'm talking about this type of studying that we're going to be going through in the short months ahead, is that application is always secondary. It's secondary. It's important. So to keep things in context, we want to learn at what I call face value interpretation. Let's use, for instance, turn with me to Psalm 51. You guys might recognize this psalm. It's a psalm of repentance of David from his sin of murder and adultery with Bathsheba. But turn with me to there, Psalm 51, verse 1. You guys there? Pretty close? Psalm 51:1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Now, the very beginning of that psalm gives us context. If you read that, it says, to the chief musicians. Remember, a lot of these psalms were set to song or to worship. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan, the prophet, went to him, and he had gone into Bathsheba. So Nathan the prophet, it's David confessing his sin to the Lord as Nathan the prophet confronts David about his sin, about with Bathsheba. Now, right away, you notice you have a historical context. You have a historical context about what that psalm is about. The context of David, Psalm 51, is his response to the rebuke from Nathan the prophet. Now, with a good cross-reference, and I don't know, you guys have cross-references in your Bible, you'd be able to look that up and you'd be able to see Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. And you could read that whole section, those two chapters, take you 5 minutes to read that, and you would understand where this psalm comes from. So the context gives us the facts about the incident. You got to understand right away, it's not about you, it's about David. It's that simple. It's about King David. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, Psalm, if you look at it and if you really break it down and you were to give, if you look at it, it's a godly response to our sin. That you could look at it as a application. David confesses, cries out for mercy. He does not make excuses, but he acknowledges his sin. He asks God to cleanse him from his sin. He understands that his sin was a personal offense to God himself. Now, that would be some of the things that you would glean out of it in application. But the context itself was David himself. And the wonderful thing about it, too, is David confesses, God forgives him. He should have been stoned. He should have been stoned, but God does forgive him. But you could go a lot further with that in your study. Say, for instance, you wanted to do a study on this, and you wanted to do it for yourself, or you wanted to do it from others. It's four verses. And I wrote down just a number of different things, different titles that you could give to yourself about this particular titles of studies that you would give to yourself. And you can go a lot further with that in those four verses. Like the first one, yeah, I put down the path of true repentance, lessons from Psalm 51. Really simple. That's the application. Or how about blot out my transgression, understanding God's mercy. Or the third one, against you have I only sinned. That's the heart of true confession. He goes on, another one I put in here, wash me thoroughly. I've been through that before. Wash me thoroughly. God, his cleansing for a broken soul. And that's what David was in that. He was a broken soul. He got caught, but he responded in the right way. And then finally, the fifth one I put down, the weight of sin and the wonder of grace. You could see you could put all those things in there as an application. But to be able to stay in the context, to be able to go back to 2 Samuel 11 and 12, to be able to understand what is going on. And then, you know, there's times where it's important to get the context for all these events. And you mustn't confuse it with the application. The applications they unfold so many different ways. And that's where the Word of God speaks to us. In other verses, you might want to do a word study. Do you guys ever do a word study? Get a good, and next week I'll introduce some different helps that are all free that can bring you into word studies, the Greek, the Hebrew. I'm not a Greek scholar. I've never taken Greek. I've never taken Hebrew. I depend on these things to look at different things I don't understand, but word studies are really good. But a good Bible program for the Hebrew, the Greek definitions. And like I said, next week I'll provide a whole list of that. I'm going to print out something. And most of it's all free. There's so much stuff out there free today that it's a shame that we don't take advantage of all of it. So you got cross references, you got word studies, you got historical backgrounds, you got grammar, you got literary structure, you got geography. I kind of like maps. When they're speaking about, especially you get into maybe the Gospels where they're saying Bethsaida, you're saying Jerusalem. Well, where is Jerusalem from Jordan and this and that? You can understand a little bit. I know a lot of people that go over to Israel, they get that. They're standing on a mountain and they're reading the context of it and it makes a lot more sense. So cross-references, very good to have in your Bible. word studies, historical, the grammar, the geography. All of this stuff helps us to understand the Bible. You know, God has given us His Word, but there's so much more to it that we can take advantage today of because of what's available. And there's some good stuff out there that's available. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar to take advantage of all this help. You know, we go here verse by verse for a reason. It's effective. Where you learn maybe a background of the book, who's it going to, who's it from, what's the problems in that church, what's the strengths of that church, all of those different things. So verse by verse, very effective in understanding the Bible. So it prevents, well, one of the things I have to say as a pastor, it disciplines me. I know that, do you ever maybe watch a sermon on TV, or you've been to a church where the pastor gets on a hobby horse? Sometimes, unfortunately, it's money on TV. They get on a hobby horse, and they tie everything into money or everything into this or that. One of the wonders of verse-by-verse studies, it disciplines me. I know what I'm going to do next week. The applications are different from time to time. I could do one study from Jude one week and then do it another time. I can look at the different context in it and steer it that way. So it forces you to slow down. It keeps you anchored in context too. I think that's really above all things. It builds a much deeper understanding of the Word of God. And I think that's really important. I think that all of us here are here because we want to learn about the Word of God. And it keeps you anchored in context. It really is. It's good. Strengthens teaching, preaching, protects you from false doctrines. It transforms your thinking, your living, how you approach the Word of God. And this type of study is letting the Bible interpret the Bible. That's what we want to do. We want the Bible to interpret the Bible. Now, I'm going to give you guys an assignment. I'm getting like Jeff. I'm going to give you guys an assignment, and I will be collecting your homework next week. I will be collecting it. Very simple, and Jeff needs to pay attention to this. It's a one-page study, just one sheet, one side. Not 24. So, and this assignment is a simple one-page breakdown of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And let me just read that to you. You guys can look at that later. I'm going to be sending everybody out a text and the assignment sheet because some of us aren't here today. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So just a one-page, single-sided, create a short Bible study. First of all, using the context, you might have to read a little bit more in Philippians on that. Maybe go back to the beginning of Philippians and see what's going on. But a short study using context, using words, who is Paul speaking to, why, and how does it affect you personally? Bring out the application of that. And like I said, I'm going to send out a text today with that challenge, probably somewhere around 6 o'clock tonight. And next week will be more the guts of the Bible study itself. So I'm going to give that to you, and I'm not going to read any of it. Well, I might. I might read a few little zips or something, but I'm collecting it. And I'm thinking about me in grade school, how I'm still writing as they're collecting it to the front. You remember the row? I'm not done yet, you know? So I think it's going to be fun. It'll be a little challenging. You create the Bible study. That's your Bible study. That's your inductive or verse-by-verse study. What does it mean? You know, what some of the words in there are really good to look up. Like I said, I'll send out that text today with the challenge and make it even a little bit more clear to those that aren't here so they can be prepared for next week. So, and next week, what we're going to do is more the guts of Bible studies. You guys ever hear the word hermeneutics? You guys ever? It's really, hermeneutics is simply the science, and I say that lightly, and principles of interpreting the Bible correctly. Very simple. There's very simple rules that you can follow, but it's really, hermeneutics is the foundation of every Bible study, every kind of doctrine to be able to rightly divide the Word of God, because if you interpret Scripture wrongly, it's all built on the wrong foundation. You want to do it the right way. That's really important to me, that you guys build the Word of God in your life rightly. That's very important to me, that you don't walk out the door and have all kinds of weird doctrine floating out of your brain, you know? it's a kind of a pet peeve for me. So bring a notebook. Bring a notebook for next time. Bring a notebook. So we're talking about how to study the Bible. I think I do got part one up there. We looked at how we really need context to be able to understand the Word of God. Simple things. We need to understand the types of studies that, and you guys might even have more than, you know, reading or devotions or word study, any of all those different things. You guys, there's many different ways to study the Bible. Reading, very important. So I'm very excited about doing this, because in this next two-week series will make a difference when we get into the book of Daniel, and then especially in the book of Revelation. I have gone through the book of Revelation a couple times, but generally it's one chapter at a time. We're probably going to do more than that. We're going to try and bring it to an understanding too. And to frankly admit, hey, I don't understand this. We don't understand this yet. I mean, some of the creatures or some of the things that we see in the book of Revelation, they're far beyond our understanding, because it really hasn't happened yet. But there are other parts in the Bible that go back to Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy that help us interpret the book of Revelation. So we got the summary of the book of Daniel, four Sundays. Then we have a very comprehensive, detailed study of the book of Revelation. And we're going to need this. We're going to really need this. I'm excited about doing this in this way, because it helps me gear up my mind to properly present a solid study on these matters. So you're going to need that, how to study the Bible, as we go through almost a year of study, if not longer. Invite a friend, bring a notepad, put on your thinking cap, right? You got to think about it. The Word of God is intelligent. Put on your thinking cap. And none of us have all of us are going to have a different approach. We're going to think a little different. We're created different. But thinking is important. Thinking about the Word of God is very intelligent. God is beyond intelligence. I can't even say that. So a very comprehensive, detailed study of the book of Revelation. And bring that notepad. You know what? Here's what the most important thing, and I think it is the most important thing, is that expect God to teach you about the Word of God. Expect God to teach you about the Word of God. Expect revelations to you personally that the Lord wants to speak to you about. Understand that? Because we want to rightly divide the Word of God. We do. We want to rightly divide the Word of God. Very important to me. And I think it's important to God that we have a very clear picture of what He's doing in our life. Amen?